Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just turning my cell phone off. It took me just a second. Sorry about that. Today, we are going to start a journey. One of the things, when I look at communities in Wyoming or across Nebraska, they all look different. They've changed. The little communities, which were big at one time, are now small. And I kind of look at it as a timeline. I'd like to see that timeline of people come in and out of a community and how it flowed. Today in our church, we start a journey. We're going to start a journey to Easter. We're going to start a journey to get ready for the birth of Christ in a year. But if we look at the journey of Christianity over a 2,000-year time frame, and if we looked at it, if we watched a documentary that was 24 hours long over the life of Christianity, our last year would comprise 43 seconds. If that documentary was an hour long, last year would have comprised 1.8 seconds. So what are we going to do to get ready for our journey? What are we going to do to stand out? Let's listen to our prelude as Diane prepares it for us. Welcome, and good morning again. Now remember, we're going to be going on a journey here, so keep that in mind. We've got a couple of announcements. There are a number in the bulletin, but I want to draw your attention to each and every one of them today. We need your help in keeping things moving. The church directory needs to be updated. There is a table outside in the narthex for you to stop by and if it's all right, put a check mark. If not, fix the information. There'll be commissions and board meeting tomorrow evening. would like everybody to attend. Let's get the year kicked off. Please remember that next Sunday is the all-church planning retreat. It will be right after church service. There will be a light lunch provided. This is a great opportunity. For example, if you participate in stewardship on the Stewardship Commission, this is a great opportunity to provide some input and some insight into what goes on the Worship Commission or on the Property Commission. So please mark your calendar and spend a little bit of time with us after service next Sunday. The following Sunday, January 22nd, there will be some diaconate training. And for those of you that are on diaconate, this is a great opportunity to get together, see what's going on for the year, and to protect your schedule by signing up for your serving times throughout the year. And so that will save a lot of shifting and shuffling. And remember that once you're on the calendar, it's your responsibility to find your replacement if you do need to be gone. Scholarship applications need to be in by tomorrow, into the church office tomorrow noon. And we will have undecorating the church activity after church service today. So if you could spend a few minutes putting a few things away, that would be most helpful. If you have purchased a poinsettia for the sanctuary in honor or in memorial of various individuals, please pick those up and take yours home today. Is there anything else that needs to come before the group?
Ted?
Yes.
Just to help with a count for lunch next week, if you know you'll be coming to the planning retreat, it's kind of like an open house. We'd love to have everybody stay for lunch. On the friendship pad on the far right-hand column, if you'll just put a number of the number of people from your family you think will be here for lunch next Sunday, that'll help us get the count right. We're ordering sub sandwiches.
Okay. Remember, we're on a journey. Let's stand and greet each other, and then we will sing our opening hymn, We Three Kings, number 172.
To go.
Sure, if you showed up earlier, you could do that.
You know, just be glad I'm here, all right?
Yeah.
It'd be nice for you to say, it's nice to see you. But no, no, we can't have that.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Please join me in the call to worship. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son.
May he judge your people with righteousness, your poor with justice.
May he live as long as sun and moon endure throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on grass, like showers.
May his righteousness flourish and peace abound until time is no more.
May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service.
Please join me in prayer. O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. In olden times, the ancient prayer was, "Come, Lord Jesus." Throughout his life, we were taught the prayer that we pray to you each and every week. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy word done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father. Please be seated. Our hymn of prayer and praise is number 174.
Thank you.
invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Good morning. Today is a special day in the church called Epiphany. Can you say that big word, Epiphany? Epiphany? Epiphany. It's not a big word for you. You've heard of about Epiphany before, haven't you? Epiphany is when the church remembers the Magi coming to bring Jesus their gifts. Does anybody remember what the gifts were that they brought? We've been singing about them. There was something shiny, really precious metal, cost a lot. Frankincense was one of the gifts, and myrrh, and gold. You got it, all three of them. That's why we have three wise men characters in our nativity scene to represent the three gifts that the Magi brought. We don't actually know how many of them there were. There might have been a whole caravan, a whole bunch of people. There might have just been two guys with two camels and saddlebags full of three gifts. We really don't know, but we know that they brought the three gifts. Frankincense and myrrh and gold. Did you all get some good gifts at Christmas time? Yeah. Can you tell me what your favorite present was or one of your favorites? It's hard to pick just one.
I got a phone.
A phone.
I got a tablet.
Awesome.
And I got a tablet.
You got a tablet.
Yep, that has a puzzle game.
A puzzle game. Awesome.
And talk about one.
That sounds fun. What about you, Blake? What did you get? A Batman robot.
But we haven't got more games yet.
Well, you can play the games you have, and at some point you can get more games, huh? You can add to it.
Yeah, there's two more Doka Bokas, but I can't find them. They are at the bottom, but they are deleted at the bottom.
I bet at some point somebody in your family is going to help you figure it out. What about you? Did you get something special? Cool, a GoPro and headphones. Awesome. Miss Kylie, did you get something you really liked? What? A zip line in your backyard. We shouldn't have said that out loud. Now everybody's going to want to come to your house. And somebody's going to bring headphones and a tablet and a new phone, and there's just going to be all kinds of fun stuff happening. One of the reasons that we give gifts at Christmas time is because in the Bible we read about the Magi giving gifts to Jesus. And Jesus was God's greatest gift to the world. So to celebrate his birth, we give gifts to the people that we love. And I bet each one of you, in addition to getting something, I bet you gave something that was really fun to pick out and give to somebody you love and watch their excitement when they opened it. Thank you all for sharing the story of your gifts with me this morning. How about we have a prayer? Lord Jesus, we continue to celebrate your birth in our lives as we journey from Bethlehem to the cross at Calvary. Lord, thank you for the lesson that we can learn from the Magi who brought great gifts, that we might bring gifts to you, we might bring indeed ourselves. Bless each of your children, O God. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for coming. You can go to worship and wonder or back to your pew. As our children are headed out to Sunday school this morning, I would invite you to look on the back of the bulletin at our prayer list. And as we do so, find the prayer cards that are in the pew rack in front of you. There's a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank, so you can write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them and then place that card in the offering later in the service. Our card shower this morning is for Martha and David Wallace. Martha's husband, Warren, David's dad, passed away this week. There will be a memorial service at Mountain Plaza on Tuesday at 2 p.m., and the church family is invited to attend if you choose to do so. We continue to pray for Brent Forbus, for his brother Alan, for all of their family as they begin this new year without Maxine here on earth, but remember her in heaven. Among those in treatment for cancer, we share the good news that Mark Steinle is doing well. He received a transplant of stem cells, a special treatment down in Denver. He asked to stay there for 100 days following the treatment. He's about halfway through that period, and the doctors are thrilled that there's no sign of cancer for him. And Pam and Mark feel like this is a miracle, an answer to prayers. The procedure he received had a 4% chance of success. So with prayer, percentages sure go up fast, and he is just so thankful for your prayers and the support of the church. We rejoice with the Steinleys and continue to pray for Mark's health. Janice Cooey will have shoulder surgery on Wednesday. She'll have a rotator cuff repair done. Please pray for her. Cal and Monica Decker's daughter, Ray Diggs, has been suffering from small nerve neuropathy. She's in Fort Collins to receive a treatment. So far, it seems to be helping, and they are hopeful that will continue. Bob Malloy asks for prayers for the Pop family. His friend Scott's dad, Donald, is having significant health issues in Minnesota. Prayers for them. The missionary we're lifting up today is Andrew Cooper, and we give thanks for the work that he does in Lesotho. We continue to pray for people across the country and around the world affected by severe storms and by violence. We also pray for those struggling with alcoholism or addictions. Ron Deggs is the president of Disciple Home Missions. He visited here in Casper. I don't remember if it was last summer or the year before, but he came and preached for us. And he has announced his retirement. So today, our prayer sheet at the back of the sanctuary is for Disciple Home Missions and the DHM staff as they enter a time of transition. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer or joys we want to share? Tricia. Prayers for Mike and Katie as they grieve the death of a little baby. A very hard loss. Becky. We're very sorry to hear about your loss, and we pray for Grandma as she begins her eternity in heaven. Let us turn to God in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O living, loving God, you are at one and the same time our home and our journey. As the Magi long ago followed a holy light to bring gifts to the Christ child, so we, O God, today follow your holy light to bring the gifts of our lives before you. Lord, we pray this day for those who find themselves journeying through darkness, living through loss, struggling with sickness. We pray that your light might shine upon each and every one. We thank you, God, for the special gift of mothers and grandmothers, for the legacy that they give their families. We pray your blessing upon Brent and Alan and all of Maxine's family. And Lord, we ask you to comfort Becky as she grieves her grandmother's death. Lord, we thank you for her life both on earth and her life now with you in eternity. We pray for healing, O God, For Ray, as she struggles with neuropathy. For Janice, as she has shoulder surgery. For the Pop family. For Jack Waltz, as he fights an infection. For Mark Steinle and others living with cancer. We pray for healing, O God, for those who face physical illness, and also for those who struggle with emotional and mental health issues, for those who live with addictions and alcoholism. We pray that you would give them courage and strength beyond their own power to live clean and sober lives. We pray for those whose hearts are breaking with grief. We ask, O God, that today you'll be with Martha and David Wallace and be with them and their family on Tuesday as they mark Warren's passing. Holy Lord, we pray especially for a young couple, Mike and Katie, as they grieve the death of a tiny babe, so beloved and precious. Holy Lord, because your Son, Jesus, took on human flesh, you know what it is like for people to walk this earth and lose those that we love, to be overwhelmed with grief even beyond being able to speak of love in words. We pray that your Spirit of grace and mercy will surround Mike and Katie, that you will hear their tears as prayer. Lord, we thank you for the work that Andrew Cooper does in Lesotho. We thank you for the ministry of Ron Deggs and pray your blessing upon Disciples Homeland Missions as they move forward on a journey leading the church across the United States and Canada. O gracious God, for each prayer that we have spoken aloud and shared in community, and for each prayer that we hold in silence in our hearts, we give thanks, Holy One, for your listening presence, for your loving us, and responding. In Jesus' name, amen.
When my family started a journey, or started to think about it, which was usually to go visit other people in the family when I was a kid, one of the first things that we did, or that my mother did, was to worry about food. So she would pack for the trip what we would call a picnic lunch, but she had a cardboard box, and it was usually ground meat, homemade bread. We had the old Miracle Whip jars full of radishes and celery and carrots and that sort of thing. We didn't have a lot of thermos jugs and Tupperware and that sort of thing, so it was Miracle Whip jars. But she made sure that nobody went hungry. When we come to a potluck here, I have never seen anybody go hungry. Jesus, in his same calling, called his disciples and said, "Come and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, in that light, he's preparing us for a journey. And he asks all of us, every one of us, without exclusion, to come.
Our hymn of communion is number 171. indeed God's love shall reign. That is the promise of the cross, the promise of the manger, and the promise of this table, where all are fed on God's love, and none need leave hungry. Whether you're a member here or visiting this day, you are welcome to share in Holy Communion as it is passed between our members. We recall that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we remember Jesus' birth and life on earth, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. We celebrate God's love for God's people through these gifts. Let us pray.
What a joy and a privilege it is to fellowship with you, Lord, and to commune with you no matter where we are, who we are with, because we know that you are with us. As we partake of the symbols of bread and wine, we eat and drink in remembrance of him who died for us and rose again. We consider that Jesus instituted this ritual to help us remember we are God's children. Help us to live in newness of life and to walk worthy before you all the days of our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the other things we did when we got ready for a journey was think about how we were going to get there and what we were going to do when we were there and how we were going to get back. And part of that requires preparing for our time and our talents and our treasures. And in that light, we prepare for that journey every Sunday when we make a commitment to share our time, talents, and treasures with this congregation, the community, and the world at large. So at this time, our diaconate will wait upon us for our offering today towards that journey. Father, we thank you for the blessings you have bestowed upon us, such that we may share with others. Give us the strength to find our way, to find that you love us, and that we need to spread your word. Help us as we go about today, tomorrow, this week, the month, this year, our journey in our life with you. Give us that support so that we may support you. Amen.
Our first scripture today comes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. It's going to be chapter 60, verses 1 through 16, and you can find those in the Pew Bible on page 690. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. And your son shall come from far away, and your daughter shall be carried on their nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall be acceptable on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastland shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from far away, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you down, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gates shall always be open. Day and night they shall not be shut, so that nations shall bring you their wealth, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will glorify where my feet rest.
The descendants of those who oppressed you shall come bending low to you, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations, you shall suck the breasts of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So ends the reading of the Word.
In this passage, the prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of the Messiah, when a multitude of camels shall cover him, when he shall receive frankincense, silver, gold, when the glory of Lebanon shall be brought as praise. That prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew 2, as we hear now the visit of the wise men. In your Pew Bible, New Testament, it's on page 2, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that anthem today. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, like wise sages of yesteryear, we are wise when we seek you. Holy One, the Magi brought their most precious gifts. May we also bring our gifts, ourselves. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Epiphany is celebrated on the church calendar on January 6th, 12 days after Christmas. The word epiphany itself means revealing, discovering, revelation. The epiphany came when the Magi revealed the true nature of the Christ child. So every year on Epiphany Sunday, we hear this story again that seems to be part of the Christmas story and yet is also the mark of a new beginning, a new journey. It falls each year at the beginning of a new year on the Western calendar. Epiphany is also a time traditionally when we hear the stories of Jesus' baptism and ponder the nature of the beginning of his ministry. Try to picture, if you can, what it was like about 2,000 years ago in Palestine when Jesus was born. Picture what nighttime would have been like, long before the discovery of electricity. If you lived in a home in Palestine in ancient times, you may have had a small opening as a window, but at night, inside your house, you might have a single oil lamp that would light your way. The rhythm of life was dictated by the change of the seasons. The rhythm of the day was dictated by the rising and setting of the sun. Indeed, in ancient times, there were people who worshipped the sun itself. So it's not a surprise that some of the imagery we have of Jesus is that of the sun rising. The Magi, we're told, came from the east. They were people who spent their time looking at the night sky. They probably looked up even more than they looked down or around. Now we call them the wise men, or sometimes even the three kings. But if you listen carefully to the reading we've heard from Matthew, they were never identified in Scripture as being royalty, as being kings themselves. The only kings in Matthew 2 are King Herod and the baby born to be king of the Jews. So who were these Magi who came with their gifts? They certainly weren't Jewish. They were strangers. They were foreigners. They came from far away and traveled a long time to get there. In church pageants, we often portray them in royal robes with crowns of gold. And yet in reality, we don't know what they looked like. Probably after having ridden camels or walked or traveled by donkey for miles and miles and miles, they were a dusty ragtag bunch. We know they brought with them incredible precious gifts, gifts fit for a king. These Magi were, if we are generous, astronomers, people who spend their time watching the heavens and studying the movement of the stars and the planets. Perhaps not just astronomers, they may have actually been astrologers, people who believed that the movement of the heavens dictated life on Earth. They may have practiced the ancient equivalent of what in modern times is known as reading your horoscope, looking at the movement of planets and deciding that tells you something about what's happening on Earth. They were magicians. They were dream interpreters. They were people who would fit right in with folks who study chicken bones to tell you your future. How strange that these non-Jewish, somewhat esoteric, mysterious magicians from the East were among the first to recognize the divinity of God's own Son. The Gospel of Matthew was written primarily for the Hebrew people, for the Jews, for those who were of God's chosen tribe. And Matthew begins his Gospel with the genealogy of Jesus, making it very clear in the first chapter that the Messiah is born of the lineage of King David. He is one of God's chosen people. And yet, these first visitors are outsiders from a foreign land. Matthew's gospel, written so carefully for the Jewish Hebrew people, concludes in Matthew 28 with a great commission. Go, therefore, teaching and baptizing all nations. The gospel at its beginning and its end is marked by the truth that God's Son is given not just for the Israelites, but for all people, for any who would seek him. The wise men were certainly seeking Jesus. They had seen something in the heavens. We don't know what it was. A star, a comet, an alignment of planets. There was some sign in the sky above them that told them something significant was happening. As they studied ancient texts, they decided it must mean a king is being born. And so they followed that star. If you're looking for a king, it's logical to go to a palace. So they show up in Jerusalem, and they go to King Herod. That's a bit confusing sometimes when you're reading the New Testament because there's more than one Herod. Depending on how you count, there are four or five guys who have that name. Later on, we'll hear about Herod Agrippa, who beheads John the Baptist. This is one of his forebears, Herod the Great, who is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. He is in charge, the almighty ultimate potentate, the greatest guy ever, the king of kings, the boss. So the Magi show up, they go to Herod, and they ask about the child born to be king of the Jews. That specific phrase sets Herod off. You see, when he was 25, he was appointed as governor of the northern district, where Jerusalem is located. He was a crony of the Roman Empire, and in about 40 BC, he was given the title King of the Jews, because he was supposed to be king and rule over the people that lived there, and they were Jewish. Now these foreigners show up, and they want to know of someone born to be king of the Jews, someone who is not handed that title by a foreign imperial power, but someone who is king of the Jews by birthright. No wonder Herod is pretty nervous, frightened, in fact, and all Jerusalem with him, understandably so. When the king ain't happy, nobody's happy. So King Herod calls the scribes, the priests, those who know the ancient texts of Jerusalem, and he asks them, where is this king to be born? They tell him, in Bethlehem. The least of the tribes of Judah will be great, for there the Messiah will be born. So Herod, in turn, says to the wise men, he's in Bethlehem. Go and pay him homage, and then come back and tell me exactly where you found him so I can pay him homage too. I wonder about the Magi in that moment. Were they better at reading the signs of the stars than the signs on a powerful person's face? Did they catch the subtle hint of sarcasm hidden behind Herod's smile when he said, I want to kneel before him, and didn't finish the phrase, with a knife under my robes? Perhaps the wise men knew even then that this king was not to be trusted. At any rate, they travel to Bethlehem carrying their precious gifts, their great gifts. They bring gold, obviously a gift fit for a king, mined from the mountains, honed by skilled craftsmen's hands. They present a treasure chest filled with gold to a newborn babe, a gift for a king, but they also bring other items with them, the gift of frankincense, a precious perfume as valuable as gold at that point in time. Incense was used in the temple for prayer. Incense was used in ancient times. Frankincense was burned, and when the smoke wafted towards heaven, people knew that their prayers were ascending to God. The Jews used frankincense in the temple. Other ancient cultures burned frankincense as well in homage to their gods. The wise men brought with them gifts for a king in the gold and gifts for a priest in frankincense, a gift that showed they knew the child to be born was both royal and holy. How did they discern all that from watching the stars? Perhaps there was plenty of time on the journey as they traveled together to ponder what sort of king they were going to greet. They brought gifts for royalty, gifts for a holy one, and gifts for a very human baby. You see, the gift of myrrh was rare and precious like frankincense, but it had a very special use. It was reserved in ancient times for burial rites. When bodies were entombed, they were carefully washed and sometimes even embalmed, treated and prepared for all eternity. And myrrh was essential in that process. Their gift of myrrh prepared the newborn king at the beginning of his life for his ultimate death that would be given in sacrifice for all humanity. They brought gifts for a king who was holy and human. What incredible gifts the Magi brought with them, no matter how many of them there were. Perhaps there were three, as the song seems to dictate, but we don't really know. Matthew didn't feel that detail to be important. He doesn't talk about the number of the Magi, just the number of their gifts, because it's the gifts who reveal the nature of Jesus himself. God, who took on human skin when a baby was born and laid in a manger. So far, the story sounds wonderful and inspiring. It stirs our hearts and motivates us to bring our gifts to God as well. But if we continue reading, it takes a dark turn. Don't forget about Herod, the jealous king up in Jerusalem. The wise men are warned in a dream, good thing they could interpret dreams, to return home by a different way. And so they left without telling Herod how to find the baby. Well, Herod is not to be outdone by a couple of foreign magicians. He'll show them. He'll make sure that that baby Messiah is put to death and never leaves the cradle. To be certain, Herod has his soldiers kill every male baby 2 years old or younger in Bethlehem. It's part of the Christmas story we don't want to tell our children. That Jesus is born into a world of violence. That Jesus comes to a place where those who are in power are innately jealous and threatened and frightened. And others do their bidding, even when it means taking the life of innocents. We would just as soon stop the telling of the story with the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and be done there, and not hear of the horror that follows. And yet that telling is part of the story as well. For ultimately, the greatest gifts in this story are not the three brought by the Magi, but they are the gifts given by God to the world in Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is born to be our king, our leader, our ruler, but one who shepherds his flock with care and love, not with power and fear and intimidation as Herod did, but as being one among the people. God's gift to the world is a shepherd king, someone who is truly holy and human at the same time. The greatest gift of Christmas, the greatest gift of Epiphany, isn't anything we can ever put under the tree, but it's what we find in the manger and at the cross and at the table. Jesus himself, born to shepherd the world, to love the world, and ultimately even to die for the sake of the world that we might live with him in all eternity. As our New Year's journey begins, may you think of the gifts that you have to give to God. Perhaps they're gifts of gold and earthly treasure, but perhaps the gift is also something within you, something that God has placed in your human form that reflects the holy spark of the divine one. For ultimately, the gift God asks of us is ourselves, the only gift fit to give in return to God giving himself as our shepherd king, our holy human ruler. May we respond to God's greatest gift with the gift of our own lives as we journey together this year. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 173, As With Gladness. You're invited to stand and sing that song together, and if there is anyone among us looking for a church home or moved to give their heart to Christ for the first time, you're invited to come forward. Let us stand and sing. Worship. There's a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's hot coffee, some delightful treats to share with one another. I encourage you to stay for a moment if you can, greet one another, introduce yourselves to someone you don't know today. And those who have time are invited to stay after that and help take down our Christmas decorations as we journey into the new year. I would also remind you again to take a poinsettia with you this morning. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, your guiding light leads us onward. May we bring our gifts to you, ourselves to you, and receive through you God's ultimate, greatest gift of love. Bless your people now with love and peace as we go forth to be bearers of holy light in the world around us. In Christ's name. Amen.